Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Professor Katrina O'Sullivan from the Department of Psychology in Maynooth University and author of the award-winning bestseller Poor. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, always delighted to have you. And Katrina, you've been coming in just to give the odd psychology masterclass. So today we're going to talk about sex.
Yes.
And this is going to be a grown-up conversation, obviously, people.
Exactly.
I think sex and your relationship with your body has been on your mind as you've been writing your upcoming book, Hungry. Today, I think we're going to mainly focus on female sexual empowerment.
Yes.
I think you were in your early 20s when you had your kind of empowerment epiphany, were you?
Yeah, I was. So I'd spent my, my late teens, early 20s, just moving from disastrous relationship to disastrous relationship. But the common theme around all of them sexually was I was never able to actually ask for what I needed or wanted in the bedroom. And that was for many reasons. Mostly was because I think as women, we're kind of socialized into this being subservient towards men in some ways. And I'm not blaming men for that. But this idea that a man's need is more important or something than a woman's, or it's stronger, or they're more driven. And so that would have come into my mind a lot during my sexual relationships as a younger woman. And then when I went into therapy in my early 20s, and also I was learning about psychology through my degree, I made this really big decision. I was never going to have sex again where I compromised my own needs in favour of a man. And it was a big epiphany for me at that time. I did another thing at that time. I took a complete break from relationships as well while I was in that moment in order to kind of build myself up in terms of my self-esteem and my well-being and learn about my body and learn about what I needed and I didn't need. So I kind of came to this point where I was like, that's it. I'm not pleased other people. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to please men ahead of myself. I'm never going to have sex again unless it's pleasurable for me.
So who was the first guinea pig of your new era?
It was Dave.
All right, Dave, your now husband. Okay.
My now husband.
So he must have done well then, yeah.
Well, I don't know if he did well.
Okay, go on.
So about a year after this, you know, epiphany, I met Dave. Honestly, I kind of knew I loved Dave the minute I met him.
Yeah.
And we'd been on a few dates. I'm really conscious that people are probably driving home from Mass right now, so I need to be very careful in how I frame this. So we're driving, you know, a few dates. Anyway, we have our first night together. We'd been to the theatre. It was amazing. It didn't last very long, to be honest, but it was amazing.
And this is not the play you're talking about, yeah?
It was the moment. Anyway, we're lying in bed together. Both of us smoked at the time. He's got a John Player Blue in his hand. His eyes are twinkling. And I look at him and I think, oh my God, he has really enjoyed that and I haven't finished. And am I going to say it to him?
Yeah.
And I'm in this moment of like, if I say it, what's going to happen? But I knew that I couldn't let myself be second anymore. So I turned to him and I said, did you enjoy that? And he said, I did. Did you, babe? And I said, I did, but I'm not finished yet. And his face, I've never seen someone crumble so much in front of me. And he just went, no one has ever spoke to me about sex before. No woman has ever spoke to me about sex before. And I was quick to reassure him. And I was like, don't get me wrong. The passion is there. There's loads of promise. I just probably need to tell you what you need to do. And he just said, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like the shame, the redness in his cheeks, his blue eyes. I can never forget the moment. But what made me fall in love with him more was he just was so willing to like learn. He just said, I'm really sorry. Like in my mind, a woman just was pleased because she made a noise and she was moist. I'm sorry if that's offensive to anybody. I never actually ever spoke about sex with a woman before.
Do you think there are women all over the country listening now who've been like faking it and not saying things for years?
100%. 100%. There's women. I don't know if they're faking it all the time, but I definitely know most women I know fake it at some point or another in favour of a man or in favour of not having to have the conversation. Because the conversation is really difficult. And what we're taught about men and women is that men are very sensitive around that stuff. Like that's connected to their manhood. So if we say something, then we're going to like
you could easily cause problems.
Yes, and the reality is, like, my experience with Dave particularly, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to talk about him as a person, but like, he was really open. Like, and a good relationship and a good sexual relationship is based on conversation and understanding each other.
Okay. And men aren't actually that fragile if you actually...
No. Like, most men actually want to please women. Like, it's a big thing now. It's like they've been told that they're not to talk emotionally. So like, they're not taught how to talk about their feelings a lot or about their fears. So like, men generally, they do want to learn. And unfortunately, how men learn sometimes is from other men or from pornography, which isn't always depicting women in the way that it should depict them, or in an empowered light. So I'm not here blaming men. Like, most men I know would be very open to their wives, their partners saying, actually, love, maybe we should try this, maybe this is a good thing. And it brings so much joy and happiness to a relationship when there's communication about what the other person wants.
So if there are women now they're deciding, I'm having an epiphany now, and I'm going to approach this delicate flower of a situation. So you would say the first thing is get to know your own body.
Yes. So like, knowing your own body, like, so having an orgasm on your own, masturbation, is a really healthy thing. It's actually healthy psychologically. It's healthy emotionally. It releases pleasure hormones. It stimulates the immune system. So I think if a woman who's listening to this, who's on a journey with their own body, who's listening to me and thinking, I want to learn, I think first things first is to know what arouses you emotionally or physically, and how that happens. Like, the thing to know about women and men, there's a difference between how women and men are often aroused. Like, women are often aroused because they're in a responsive way. So they are aroused by touch, by kind talk, by service, by the fella putting on the washing machine, by things that happen before, where men are more likely to be spontaneously aroused.
Okay.
So when a man and woman get into bed, oftentimes the man is just aroused, but the woman needs a bit more work. Like, she needs a bit of coaxing in, a bit of feeling, a bit of emotional, a bit of conversation. But we don't actually know that about each other.
So yeah, so the initiating it can be a minefield. Yeah.
It can be a minefield. Like I love Larry Davis, you know, the comedian. There's a really funny scene from one of his shows. Well, me and Dave laugh about this a lot, where his wife is like, sometimes I want to initiate, but I don't know how to initiate. And I don't think it's a woman's job to initiate. And I kind of want to do it, but then I'm scared to say in case you don't want to do it, and I think it's a man's job. And Larry Davis just went, let's just go from here to blanket. I'm open. I'm on. I'm open. I'm ready. But the truth is, you know, women need more responsive, you know, more response, more kindness, more conversation, more touch. Men are actually more likely to just be able to do it.
Okay.
But with a woman, if she's like thinking about trying to get herself into a position where she's getting more pleasure out of sex, I think firstly, it's about understanding your body, know what pleases you and what you like. That's an amazing journey to go on. And there's no shame in that at all. Masturbation's a great thing. Pleasing yourself is an amazing thing. Liking your body will also help with that.
Okay. So seeing as I have the opportunity to ask, so say we've initiated, we've got there, and everybody's got the same idea in their heads, and you're in the bedroom. What's going through a woman's mind?
Oh, well, I can't speak for every woman, but like, women talk about this
a lot.
It's
complicated though, isn't it?
It is complicated, but like, we're also socialised into this idea that we're supposed to be physically attractive at all times to men. You know, so like, I know, I'll just talk for myself, like, I'm very conscious of rolls of fat, hairs on my chin, like, is there, so like, as a woman, I've got like, I'm trying to enjoy the moment and be present and feel the stimulation, but I'm also thinking, am I sexy here? Is this right? Does my ass look big here? Like, there's a lot of things going on.
So anything could throw off the moment, could it?
Anything can throw off the moment for a woman. Yes, of course. Like, it's really difficult for women actually to get to the point. That's why it takes longer for women. But also there's an assumption, like 80% of women, like only 20% of women actually have orgasm through penetration. So like, the idea that sex alone is how a woman's going to orgasm is completely false. There's only a small minority of lucky women who actually orgasm during sex. So like, it takes us a lot more. There has to be a lot more going on, a different type of stimulation going on. We have to be involved in that in ourselves and get ourselves and our minds into the moment. So there's a lot of things going on. Is he enjoying this? Do I look nice? Is it, am I visually, is this position good? Is the dinner going to be ready in the morning. I got the breakfast ready. So there's a lot of things going on in one's head.
So there's a massive context that possibly isn't there for men at the time who are, can be fairly single-minded.
When I talk to men, and I've talked to Dave about this, like, it's pretty black and white what's going on for him. Like, he's never been concerned about any rolls of fat on my body during our experiences, even though I've asked him for that. But that doesn't stop the thoughts happening in my head, because I live in a world that tells me that women should look a certain way and act a certain way, and so all them things get in the way sometimes. That's sometimes why it takes a bit longer for a woman. We need a bit more time to get into the moment and feel sexual and feel like we're empowered and feel like we're ready to have an orgasm. So
slow down, lads. But this the actual penetrative sex is part of the situation. Like, it does contribute to it, even if that is not how the woman has the orgasm.
It's really important to know this, that if a woman, if you're having sex, a man and a woman, and the woman is orgasming during penetrative sex, and there's no other stimulation going on towards her clitoris, she's probably not orgasming. Like, that's probably a fake situation. So if men are listening, because most women need other stimulation, outside stimulation of the vagina in order to orgasm.
Okay, but they are enjoying the sex part too, actual penetrative sex.
But this is the other myth. Like, you can have sex without orgasm, like men and women, and still enjoy sex. Like, sex isn't just about having an orgasm. Sometimes you can be halfway through and go, actually, it's not working right now. This is not for me. I'm let's end this. Sometimes sex is
Can
be
and that's
about
not the
intimacy.
End of the world if people change their mind at any stage in the whole transaction.
Absolutely. Yeah? Like, actually, it's pretty healthy for a couple to start, initiate, get halfway through and go, you know what? It's not working. I'm actually really tired here. Like, no matter how much I'm trying, I'm not getting into it. I actually think men get a really hard time in this particular case, because we have assumptions that men are just up for it all the time. Like, that they're just sexual, you know. And we also have this idea that once a man starts, like, there's something where he has to finish. That, like, he's driven by this manly drive. That's actually not true. And it contributes to harsh feelings for men and for women. You can be halfway through and decide, I'm too tired, or this is not for me, it's not working, we're not turned on, and stop.
And that's not a failed sexual encounter, and neither is it something that should set anyone's head off and thinking we've got a problem here.
And look, I write about this in the book. I tell the story of Dave, I tell the story of how I told him what I need, but that doesn't mean that I've never had sex in my marriage where I haven't actually orgasmed, and he has. Sometimes you can choose that. There's couples have different drives as well. I think it's really important that people talk about their sex drives and their needs. So sometimes you might have one person who's more sexual than the other.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely okay to just be part of that person's pleasure, to be involved in their pleasure, but not necessarily being pleased yourself. Like, for me, I actually am pleased if he's pleased. Like, I want my husband to feel pleasure and happy and have orgasms if that's what makes him happy. Similarly, he wants the same for me. Now, admittedly, not as much. But the truth is, like, it's okay for one to orgasm, one the other not, or for both not to.
Okay, and it's okay as well for people to have different levels of need,
That happens naturally. Like, as men and women age, our sex drives change, particularly men's. Like, I feel really bad for men as they age, that we have this idea that they should always be really sexual. Like, a lot of men as they age, it gets more difficult for them to be as driven as when they were younger. Similarly with women, that's why, like, it's really important that couples talk to each other about that. They don't take that stuff personally. Like, as a woman, one of the things that I would take personally sometimes, if I was with a man and he wasn't aroused, I would think that was to do with what I look like and what I was presenting as. And that's not the case. Loads of things contribute to a man's ability to perform in the bedroom. And I think we need to give them as much care as we give women in this space and understand that, like, not being aroused doesn't mean that he doesn't find you attractive. He may be tired, he may be, you know, physically unwell. There's loads of things that contribute, and there's loads of things that you can do as you age to improve your sexual behaviour as well and improve your...
Okay, so give us some of those.
Like, some things is introduce toys into your relationship if that's not already there. Watch porn together. Lots of couples watch porn together. Like, porn gets a really hard time. Now, I'm talking about porn that's healthy, porn that doesn't depict women in a violent way. I'm talking about healthy porn.
Okay.
Couples watching porn together, watching porn separately, that's actually really healthy and can really stimulate the sex drive. Like, if you've been in a marriage, like, when you're having sex with the same person for 20 years, like, it gets pretty monotonous.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
there's no harm in trying to introduce, like, fantasy play into that, into having conversations about trying to spice it up. Like, there's audio porn now. So women, like, this is one of the big things that have been brought for women. Women are wearing headphones in the bedroom, listening to stories being read to them while they're having sex with their husbands. I think the most important thing is...
And nobody needs to get offended about any of that.
Like, it doesn't mean that you don't love your partner, you don't find them attractive. Like, 80% of people fantasize about having sex with another person while they're having sex with their partner.
No way.
80% at some point or another. That's not a reflection on the love in the marriage. But, like, having sex with the same person is monotonous. Like, you know, it's very hard to get that, oh, he's, look at him. You know, I've been looking at him for 20 odd years at the end of the day. I love him deeply. But at the end of the day, it's okay for us to find spice within our marriage. The most important piece is conversation. Like, our love, our intimacy, our trust starts in talking about what we want and what we don't want. I think as Irish people, we're a bit repressed in that front.
Okay, so there's going to be loads of people listening now who are going, no, we don't talk about it. There's a silence around it and everything. And I couldn't start doing that. Once you start, does it get easier? Yeah,
absolutely. But start slowly.
Okay.
Like, no one listening
What's
to this.
What's a good slow start?
If you're watching a TV show and you're on your own together and there's a sex scene in the TV show and it's a bit different. What do you think about that? Would we do that? Like, slowly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest for anyone who hasn't spoke about the sex to just jump in and go, I'm actually fantasizing about you coming in dressed up as a policeman. You know, there might be a bit of a shock there for your partner, but I would say slow conversations. I really like it when you do this to me. Would you think you might be able to do this to me? It might be just rubbing your thigh, but getting used to just saying, I really like this. I really like the way you do this to me. I would like this to be done to me. Have you got a fantasy that love that we've never discussed before? You know, just asking conversations like that, beginning to start the conversations about fantasy, about what you like, but always remembering that there's no critical element to it. I'm not happy.
Yeah, because you're framing all this very positively,
yes,
I see. Yeah,
all positive. Like, we're not into criticising people in bed at all. There's no reason to turn around to your husband or wife and say, you're not doing this for me. Like, there's two people always in a sexual relationship. It's about both of you. And it's about framing it in a really positive light. And remember that we're really sensitive in this area. Men are sensitive and so are women. So I definitely think framing it positively.
What about after sex?
As in
post-coital moment.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about this.
It's an important, sensitive time, isn't it? More sensitive for women than men, I think, sometimes.
It's really interesting that, like, men... Like, so when men orgasm, their body releases a hormone that makes them go to sleep. And women release this... our body is actually processing what just happened. It's preparing, actually, to take in the semen and create something afterwards. So often women are more awake after. But also, I think... from a social point, women feel quite vulnerable after they've orgasmed. They feel quite vulnerable with the man, particularly if it's a new relationship. So, like, but they don't match each other in this moment. And I would ask men who are listening to remember, like, a little hug. Like, one of the biggest arguments me and Dave have ever had has never been before. It's always been when he's just gone, okay, good night, love.
Yeah.
And I'm lying there like, was that okay for him? Is he still, did he? And he's like, just lying next to me in the bed. So I think that there's first things to remember that we actually have different biological responses to an orgasm that cause a man to go to sleep and a woman to be more awake. But also, we don't have to fall asleep. Like, there is possible to roll over and have a hug and have a reassuring conversation afterwards if it's needed. So it's just to be aware that we have different biological responses to orgasm. Men sleep, women are awake a little, and maybe they need to meet in the middle a little bit after that.
Okay. I think that was enough for people to take in one day on this. We might return to this again. You've had a great year.
Oh, and
great another
year.
Big one coming. And the play,
yes,
of Poor,
yes,
which is an extraordinary piece of theatre.
Just
absolutely fantastic. What an atmosphere, like,
yes,
like the atmosphere in the theatre. And it's not
amazing.
Wasn't your usual theatre crowd, no, the night I went, like, and they're they're mad for it, loving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so the show is running again from, so we had a 5.5 week sold out run in the Gate Theatre. It is an amazing piece of theatre. Sonia Kelly, Roisin McBrien, the director, myself, we all came together. Like, it's not a big sad story. Like, there's so much joy, there's music, there's fun. Obviously, there's sadness in it, but it's been amazing. And we're running again because it's been so successful. We're 80% sold out. So if you're thinking about a Christmas
for next year already,
for the March run, so we're nearly done for that. So if you're thinking about coming along, but I'm actually so proud of it, Brendan, because like I did it in the Gate because it's in Dublin One. That's where I lived. That's where I identify. And people from Dublin One don't usually go to the theatre.
Yeah.
We had like 50% of people who came to the show had never been to the theatre before.
Yeah, and they were having a massive catharsis there. Like,
it was
beautiful. they were right in it.
Yeah.
And you have a book coming in the new year then, Hungry.
Yeah, my new book is coming out. So we just announced the launch of that. So we're having a launch event on the 22nd of April in the National Concert Hall. I'm so nervous about it, Brendan. Like, even though Poor has been such a big success, like, there's some part of me that's like, oh, am I good at this? Am I a writer? Will people want to read this?
Did I just get lucky?
Or, you know, but Hungry is the biography of my body. It's a book about sex and empowerment, but also about all the things I've tried to do to shrink myself. It actually started for a conversation between myself and yourself about actually like the things that I tried to do to be smaller physically, and all the negative things that I've done, but all the positive things I've tried to do to heal that relationship. So that book is coming out in April. We have a big launch. Tickets are on sale. It's not profit making. You'll just get a free book if you come along, and you'll hear me have a chat about the book. So I'm really excited about that as well, but also I'm nervous. It is a bit scary to be putting yourself out. It's another memoir. It's very personal, but it's exciting as well.
Yeah. And listen, Christmas, it's kind of mixed feelings for you, I think, around Christmas.
I really don't like Christmas. Like, you know, the Christmas Carol, the Ghosts of Christmas Past. Like, my Christmas Past is just my childhood was really horrific around, like, addiction at Christmas. We don't talk about it enough, how toxic it is for families that are in, like, it's the only time of year that you're actively encouraged to get out of your head, to drink a lot, to party a lot. And as a child who grew up in a home where addiction dominated, like, my Christmases were ruined every year. There was, you know, really, really horrible things.
And there are people already now dreading the Christmas drinking in households and dreading the father or the mother.
Just death as well. Like, I don't have a mama, dad. I don't have that thing that you see in the adverts where it's a big loving family. Like, there's a lot of sadness. So I try my best to be as positive as I can. But I wake up now, this couple of weeks coming up to Christmas, I have to coax myself into the day because I'm like, okay, Christmas is coming. You feel really sad about it. So, like, I have the Ghost of Christmas Past that kind of haunts me. And I'm not a big fan of Christmas. I'm sorry if that's a bar humbug for some people. I've tried my best to get into it. It just is a really sad time.
And you know what? You're not alone. And I'd say you have just allowed a lot of people to feel that as well.
Yeah.
Listen, I'd say I'm being spared the Giviotti text. But,
yes.
But a lot of very positive texts here. That sex conversation should be broadcast every senior cycle student in the country. Get them young, that woman is saying.
But can I just say about getting people young, Brendan?
Yeah.
If we talk openly about sex in an appropriate way to young people, they have less STIs, they have sex later, and they're less likely to have teen pregnancies. So, like, talking to young people is a good thing.
Mother of God, Brendan, fair play to you and your guest. I thought I was open-minded. I'm blushing listening to the radio right now. Don't read my name. Very open discussion. Can't believe I'm hearing this chat on RT. Brave and brilliant. I hate when people say brave. Don't you? Oh, no. Okay. Thanks a million, Katrina O'Sullivan, and happy Christmas.